just need to know, does anybody here know a God that is faithful?
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, I'm excited that you're here to celebrate with us this special milestone of doing ministry together for 20 years at Friendship. Words cannot express how much I love the Lord Jesus Christ and how much I love this church family. God has done some God-sized things in this church during the past 20 years, and I'm grateful for those who exercise their faith in planting this community of faith. As we look around this morning, it is clearly evident that God has moved within this family of believers. And today, we want to celebrate what God has accomplished. We want to look forward to what God is going to do in the days ahead. You see, we can't afford to become complacent regarding the work that has already been done. Instead, we must remain engaged in the work that God has called us to do. We must press forward with a commitment to lead people to connect with and to commit to the living God. I want us to take a look this morning at a video that highlights just a few of the God-sized things that we have witnessed in the life of this community of faith. Take a look at the screens.
For 20 years, Friendship Baptist Church has been trusting God and following where He leads. We celebrate today some of the God-sized things we have experienced in the first 20 years of Friendship. What are we celebrating today? We are celebrating God's call to missions. Friendship is committed to being on mission with God. Our church has commissioned mission teams to serve all over the U.S. We have teams travel to Lander, Wyoming, Bourbonnais and DuCoin, Illinois, St. Charles, Missouri, Lynch, Louisville, and Elizabethtown, Kentucky, Gulfport, Mississippi, Lake Charles, Louisiana, Atlanta, Georgia, and our fifth team just returned from Vidor, Texas. Friendship members have driven over 21,360 miles in the U.S. to serve others and to share the love of Christ. Our church has also commissioned mission teams to serve outside the U.S. In 2007, our first international team traveled to Namwala, Zambia. Since then, an additional five teams have served in Morogoro, Tanzania. Friendship members have traveled over 152,600 miles to serve internationally and to share the hope that we have in Christ. Friendship has also effectively engaged in missions within our own community. We have served our community in many ways. We've led Bible study at McCracken County Regional Jail. We have prayer walked through our community and school campuses. We have volunteered at the Paducah Warming Center, Hope Unlimited, Martha's Vineyard, and Community Kitchen, just to name a few. We have served both city and county schools. We have hosted block parties, community outreach events, and over 45 opportunities for church members to serve our community through labor for your neighbor. Friendship has not only committed to go, but we have also made sacrifices in order to give to missions. In the first 20 years of Friendship, we have given over $1,020,000 to missions. These dollars have been used to support missionaries and pastors, to assist with disaster relief efforts, to dig a well and build a church and school in Tanzania, to repair the roof of an orphanage in Kenya, to purchase beds for children, and to provide benevolence for families within our own community. What are we celebrating today? We are celebrating God's call to ministry. Since 1999, 11 Friendship members have surrendered to God's call to serve in ministry or missions. Seven of those individuals have graduated from seminary or are currently enrolled where they are being equipped to fulfill God's call on their lives. To God be the glory for the lives that have been changed. We're celebrating baptisms. The first Friendship baptism took place on August 1, 1999. Erica Khalil and Ben Ashley were first baptized into the local church at Friendship. Since then, we have baptized young and old and many in between. The oldest baptismal candidate was then 80-year-old Doris Chapel. praise God, we have baptized a total of 189 children, youth, and adults. We are celebrating salvations. From 1999 to 2019, well over 400 people have been saved through the ministry of Friendship Baptist Church. God has been at work through our worship services, Operation Andrew, faith evangelism visits, vacation Bible school, mission trips, block parties, prayer walks, and outreach events. It is our prayer that many, many more will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. At Friendship, we have so much to be thankful for. Our gracious God has blessed us far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. What are we celebrating today? We're celebrating 20 years of changed hearts and changed lives. We're celebrating God's faithfulness and prayerfully looking forward to what He has in store for us in the future. Have things changed at Friendship in 20 years? Sure they have. Things have changed because people change and circumstances change. Churches that don't change die. But our commitment of leading people to connect with and commit to the living God in the local church has not changed. Who knows what Friendship will be like in 20 years? Let's pray that if Jesus doesn't return before then, we will remain devoted to the glory of God and to seeing more people added to this church here in our community as well as around the world. To God be the glory.
God is good, and all the time.
God is good.
Would you pray with me as we thank God for the grace that He has shown in the ministry here at Friendship to change the lives of so many? Let's pray together. Father, we do give You praise this morning. You are a God that is incredible. Lord, You do above and beyond the things that we ask or think or can even imagine. And Lord, we just worship You today. We give You praise. We pray that You will be glorified and honored as we worship You. God, thank You for this body of believers and for Your faithfulness, providing for the needs of this church family. Lord, we just give You praise today for being our God, for being the head of this body. And Lord, I pray in the days ahead that we would be responsive to You. That, Father, we would follow Your leadership, whether it looks like it'll work or it won't work, whether it looks like it's too big or too little. Father, we always want to be a body of believers that walk hand in hand with You. Thank You. Thank You, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, I want you to know that our success in this life is dependent upon our dedication and our devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've discovered that God will do supernatural things in us and through us as long as we are fully devoted to Him. And I believe there's a bright future ahead for us at Friendship, but it will only be realized in proportion to the dedication that you and I have to God. When Charles Spurgeon first went to Park Street Church in London, he was 19 years old, and he found a church that had a seating capacity of 1,500, but an attendance of less than 200. 9 years later, the Metropolitan Tabernacle was built just to accommodate the enormous crowds that came to hear Spurgeon preach. His sermons were published in newspapers around the world. They built a school to train pastors. A business was started to print evangelical booklets. And during Spurgeon's 38 years as the pastor a Metropolitan Tabernacle, his congregation included 6,000 worshipers, and they added approximately 14,000 members. Clearly, the Metropolitan Tabernacle, it was one of the most influential churches of its day. But in 1972, 75 years after Spurgeon retired, the church he once pastored counted only 87 worshipers for the morning service. What happened to this great church? How did they lose their influence? Many explanations could be given. Maybe the community had changed. Perhaps the church members had changed. It could be that the church didn't keep up with the times, or maybe the church should have relocated to the suburbs. In simple terms, the church, somewhere along the way, the church lost its focus. And friend, I want you to know that we are one generation away from irrelevancy. We are one generation away from extinction as a church family. We cannot afford to lose our focus. Amen?
Amen.
We must stay Christ-centered. We must remain ministry-driven at Friendship. This community that God is building here is a community where Jesus is the priority. It is a place where His presence is pursued, and it is a place where His purposes are practiced. And while God cannot be contained within this structure that is made of wood and block and steel and glass, God wants us to know Him, and He wants us to make Him known. Friendship is a place where people should find rest and comfort and encouragement, but most importantly, it is a place where people should find God. We have been, and we must continue to be, a place of refuge where those in need can experience the life change through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This ought to be a place where the deepest love and the deepest caring for one another is real. Our text this morning is Acts 2, and Luke gives us a very clear picture of a church that was making an impact on those within its reach. The church in Jerusalem, it was not a perfect church. It wasn't perfect because it was made up of people, but God was certainly at work in this church. And this snapshot from Acts 2 shows us the marks of a healthy church. It portrays the priorities of an impactful church so that we at Friendship can measure ourselves by it, and we can seek to follow its example. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, Luke writes, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." Now, clearly, there are some priorities that we find in the Jerusalem church. What are the priorities of an impactful church? What is our vision at Friendship? Well, the first priority is that an impactful church is marked by continual devotion to the Lord. Continual devotion to the Lord. Church, the risen Lord was central to all that was happening in this new church at Jerusalem. And at Friendship, Christ must always be the priority. The word translated continually devoting, it points to constancy, to purpose, and to resolve. These believers, they were continually devoted to the Lord. And they were devoted to Him in three distinct ways. First, we learn that devotion to the Lord means devotion to the teaching of His Word. Acts 2:42 says they were continually devoted to the apostles' teaching. Now, 3,000 new converts all at once, while that may be a pastor's dream, I can tell you that would also be a pastor's nightmare. Because the difficulty comes because these people, they're from many different locations. They're from different backgrounds. And while most of them maybe had some sort of a familiarity with the Old Testament scriptures, they were unfamiliar with the person and with the ministry of Jesus. And so the apostles, they had a massive job on their hands. They had to be certain that these new believers were grounded in their new faith before they return home. We live in a day where the church often attempts to minimize sound doctrine. Instead, many churches emphasize emotional experience and feelings. I remember when I was in seminary, I enrolled in a church growth class, and the professor had been traveling around America visiting many large growing churches, and he compiled a list of 15 characteristics of growing churches. And as I looked through that list, what surprised me was that absent from the list was solid biblical preaching. And so I asked the professor about that, and he shrugged his shoulders, and he said, "Sound doctrine and preaching didn't seem to be a prominent factor in these growing churches." But folks, when we turn to the last three letters that Paul wrote to Timothy and to Titus, you will find him emphasizing again and again the need for sound doctrine. in his final appeal to Timothy, just before he was martyred, Paul gives the strongest possible admonition. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word." Paul went on to warn Timothy that a time would come when people would not endure sound doctrine, but they would accumulate teachers who tell them what they want to hear. And church, let me caution you that sugar-coated preaching is dangerous to your soul. Amen. A healthy church must be devoted to sound doctrine. And you say, "Jason, why is that important?" It's important because one of the ways that God reveals himself to us is through his written word. And if we're not growing in our understanding, and if we're not growing in our application of the truth of God's word, then we are not growing in our devotion to the Lord. We also identify that devotion to the Lord means devotion to corporate worship. Church, the preaching of God's word should result in passionate worship. Where Christ is the priority, his presence will be pursued. Strong biblical preaching should bring us to an encounter with God that is very much at the heart of true worship. Thirdly, devotion to the Lord means devotion to prayer. Acts 2 teaches us that these early believers, they were continually devoting themselves to prayer. That reference refers to set times of corporate prayer. Friend, whenever and wherever the church meets, whether it is in a large place like this or whether it is in a small group, prayer ought to be woven into the fabric of church life. At our deacons' meetings, we often commit difficult matters to the Lord as we seek his heart in prayer. Our deacons are intentional about praying for each one of you as we gather together. In our staff meetings, we pray continually for God's direction as we seek the Lord. And as we seek to lead, friend, in your personal and family life, prayer ought to be a normal, frequent response when problems arise or when you talk with someone who's facing a problem. Prayer acknowledges that our total dependence is on the living Lord. And so the first priority of an impactful church is continual devotion to the Lord. At Friendship, we must resolve that Christ is the priority as we pursue his presence. A second characteristic is that an impactful church is marked by continual devotion to the Lord's people. Acts 2:42 literally says they were continually devoting themselves to the fellowship. Church, we can't be devoted to the head who is Christ and at the same time cut ourselves off from the body, which is his church. I want you to say that with me. We cannot be devoted to the head who is Christ and at the same time cut ourselves off from the body, which is his church. It'd kind of be like this. It'd be a man going to his date and say, "You know, I love your face, but your body is gross. It's sick. It turns my stomach." If a guy said that, what'd happen? It'd be his last date, right? And it should be. Even though the body of Christ is not as lovely as Christ himself, the Bible commands us not to forsake assembling together with other believers. So what does it mean to be devoted to the fellowship? That word means to share in common. In chapter 2, verse 44, it says that all those who believed were together and had all things in common. In verse 46, Luke underscores this sense of togetherness. It says that they were of one mind. They shared their meals together. Friend, being devoted to the fellowship, it is a commitment to be built together with those who have joined God's family through salvation. And there are three aspects to consider to have fellowship. First of all, we must truly be saved. Luke points out that those who were added to the fellowship in Acts 2, they were those whom the Lord was saving. And while some who were not saved likely attended the church, they were not part of the fellowship until they were saved. And let me remind you that church membership means nothing without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? To be saved, it means to be delivered from eternal punishment because of our sins. Salvation is experienced as we put our trust in Jesus as the one who bore our sins on the cross. And as soon as a person is saved, he or she shares in common with others who are believers in Christ. Salvation by grace through faith in Christ, it is the basis of all true fellowship. But a second aspect is that to have fellowship, we must be together. You can't have fellowship if you don't gather with the church. And while we should gather with the church corporately for worship and teaching like we're doing now, we also need to fellowship with others. We need to get to know one another personally. In other words, if you only attend the Sunday morning worship service but never spend time getting to know others by participating in a small group, then friend, you will never enjoy the close, caring fellowship that God intends for you to experience. To have fellowship, we must be saved, and we must be together. And thirdly, to have fellowship, we must share together in the things of God. Too often, we get together and we spend our time talking about the news or about weather or UK basketball. Anybody watch a game last night? It's not wrong to talk about those things. We enjoy talking about those things, but you know, at some point, the conversation needs to move to a deeper level. Amen? I mean, if Christ is center in our lives, if he is the priority in my life, and if he is in the priority in your life, when we get together, we ought to talk about him. And if we don't talk about the Lord and his salvation, what that may reveal is that he is not the center of my life, and he's not the center of yours either. And so we need to fellowship. We need to spend time with one another. When we gather with other believers, we need to direct our conversation to the things of God and his word, so that we will be built together in the Lord. An impactful church is marked by continual devotion to the Lord. And it's marked by continual devotion to his people. And a third priority is that an impactful church is marked by continual devotion to God's work in the world. To God's work in the world. Our text doesn't say that the church was devoting itself to evangelism, but the fact is that evangelism was happening. And it didn't happen apart from believers who were sharing their faith with those who did not know Christ. It is essential that every member at Friendship see themselves as a missionary. A missionary. Church, each one of us, we must learn a basic gospel presentation that will help us communicate the good news. And it doesn't matter if you use the Roman road, or the faith outline, or a gospel tract, or share Jesus without fear, or your own personal testimony of salvation. It doesn't matter what you choose, but we must be equipped to share the gospel. Although evangelism is primarily God's work, he does it through you and through me. It is the Lord who adds to the church those who are being saved, but we are responsible for sharing the gospel. It's interesting that Luke points out that the Lord added the new converts together with the church. In other words, the Lord does not save people without adding them to the church where they can grow. And people are not added to the church unless they are first saved. An impactful church is devoted to the Lord, to his people, and to his work in the world. Years ago, I met a man and his family. They had moved to Paducah, and they had visited a number of churches in our community. They were struggling to find the right church, the right fit, and they'd even talked about dropping out of church entirely and just meeting in their home for Bible study. And I asked what they were looking for in a church, and basically what they did was they ran down this list of Acts chapter 2, stating what they were looking for in a church. That they wanted a church where the pastor faithfully expounded the Bible and related it to where they lived. They wanted a place where there was warm, loving, caring, supportive fellowship. They were looking for a sense of the living God and his greatness in worship. And they were looking for compassionate outreach. They attended Friendship for about a month. They joined Friendship and they served here for many years until they relocated out of the area. I would be the first to tell you that no church is perfect. But as we continually devote ourselves to the Lord through his word and through worship, as we devote ourselves to the fellowship of his people and to his work in the world, friend, God will use us to glorify himself. And so I challenge you to be determined in your devotion to the Lord and to his church so that he uses us to reach many in this community and around the globe for His glory. Listen, each one of you are an important part of the ministry and the effectiveness of this church. The priorities at Friendship remain sharp and focused. We are a community of believers that are continually devoted to the Lord, to His people, and to His work in the world. That is our priority. Let me give you some action steps to consider this morning. Action step number one is commit yourself to take the next step in connecting with this church body. If this is your first time here, or maybe you've been visiting for several weeks, we are thrilled that God has brought you here. And may I encourage you to continue coming as you seek the Lord. Some of you have been attending a while, but you've not yet plugged into a small group. And I would urge you to join with others in Bible study. You need a community of people that will encourage you when you're down, and a group that you can encourage when they're down. Some of you are ready to become members of this church family. If so, you need to take action today. For others, you're not in a relationship with God. You've been living your entire life independent of God. And this morning, you feel the weight of your sin and your guilt. The gospel is that we sin. Each one of us, we miss the mark. We do some things that we shouldn't. We fail to do some things that we should. And friend, it's time. It's time that you exchange your guilt for His grace, your faults for His forgiveness, and your sin for His salvation. The gospel message is that your sin and my sin, it has separated us from a holy God. But God loves us too much to leave us dead in our sins. And friend, this is the good news. The good news is that God became one of us in the person of Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh, and He lived a perfect life in every way. And He died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus died in our place, and He rose again so that all who call on His name will be saved, forgiven, and transformed. So, friend, right now I urge you to call upon His name. And when you do, He will hear your prayer, and He will forgive your sin. If you want to experience this new life, if you want to experience His presence and His grace and His forgiveness, then you just say to Him this morning, you just say, Jesus, I commit my life to You. Today I want to turn away from my sin. As I say yes to You, I want You to be first in my life. And friend, after you've asked Christ to save you from your sin, I encourage you to share with this church family your decision to follow Jesus. We not only want to celebrate with you, but we want to help you grow in this new relationship that you share with the living God. In just a moment, as we sing, you come and you let me know that you want to live for Christ. Action step number two is figure out how you fit and then plug into a ministry at Friendship. Maybe some of you are members, but you've slipped a bit when it comes to serving. Friend, it's time to serve like you've never served before. And I'd love to meet with you and pray with you and help you find a place where you can make an impact at Friendship. Action step number three, pray that God will give you a practical way to come along someone this week. Our devotion to fellowship with others, it creates within us a passion to help those in need. You realize that there are needs all around us, and some of us miss those opportunities because, quite frankly, we focus almost exclusively on ourselves. So ask God to make it clear how you can care for someone who is hurting. It might be a note, it might be a phone call, a meal, childcare, some financial assistance that you can extend to someone in time of need. Action step number four, be vulnerable and ask others for help when you need it. You know, there are times when we need others to true fellowship. It requires both our being willing to serve as well as our willingness to receive the help of others when there's a need. And action step number five, invite others to discover their place at Friendship. Determine now to invite your friends, your classmates, your co-workers, your relatives, so that they can discover their purpose and place in God's family. Do you know that 86% of the people who visit the church the very first time attend because a friend invited them? 86%. Who's waiting for your invitation to experience a relationship with the living Lord? Who can you reach? It's true that we cannot reach everyone. You cannot reach everyone. But friend, you will reach someone if you will take the risk and invite them to attend. Be intentional about sharing with others how God has changed your life through Jesus Christ. In a mountain village in Europe several centuries ago, a wealthy man wanted to leave a legacy to the townspeople. So he decided that he would build a new church. And when the church building was completed, the people came and they marveled at its beauty, at its completeness. This man had thought of everything. And as the people toured the new facility, someone asked, they said, "Well, where are the lamps? How will it be bright enough for worship?" And the man pointed to brackets that had been arranged along the walls. He had given each family a lamp that they were to bring with them to worship. And he said, "Each time you're here, the area where you are seated will be well lit. And each time you're not here, your area will be dark." And he said, "This is to remind you that whenever you fail to be involved in the church, some part of God's house will be dark." Friend, God has placed you at Friendship as a strategic link in His kingdom work. And I pray that God will continue to work in us and through us to make an impact on those within our reach. The priorities at Friendship are sharp. We are a community of believers that are continually devoted to the Lord, to His people, and to His work in the world. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your word and the opportunity we have to come and study together and share together. Lord, I pray during this invitation this morning that, Father, we would just open our lives up to Your word, and God, that we would measure ourselves by the example of the church in Jerusalem. And Father, where we're lacking, I pray that You will make that known. And Father, where there is strength, help us to be aware of that also. God, I pray for those here this morning who are without a relationship with You. God, I pray that today will be the day that they place their trust, their faith in Your Son Jesus, in all that He accomplished on the cross and through His resurrection for salvation. God, move in this place in a mighty way, we pray. It's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.